This is a story about a father and son, about a prime minister and parliament, and about Russian espionage and influence.
I'm sure that Boris Johnson was warned to what the potential dangers were of having a close personal relationship with the son of a former senior Russian intelligence officer.
It's a story about a former KGB spy sanctioned internationally, winning over Britain's political elite.
What Lebedev was doing was buying a profile, buying respectability in the UK.
It's a story about parties and politics.
Our secret services had to keep an eye on an important European politician to understand whether there were reasons of concern.
And a former Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, ignoring the concerns and advice of our security services.
I know of no other example where the Prime Minister has overruled intelligence advice on the grounds of national security.
And it's about a mutually beneficial friendship that cemented two men's rise to power.
He tried to overrule, and did overrule, his security advisers and the House of Lords Appointment Commission.
I, Yevgeny Lord Lebedev, do solemnly, sincerely, and truly declare that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth.
Boris Johnson disregarded the Constitution, and that is a very dangerous position.
Know ye Baron Lebedev of Siberia in the Russian Federation.
Boris, the Lord, and the Russian Spy. Channel 4, Dispatches. Narrated by Rosalind Eliazar. Hashtag C4 Dispatches.
Althorp House. June 2006. The guests are arriving at the ancestral home and resting place of Princess Diana.
Cameras flash.
The theme is a midsummer Russian fantasy, and the dress code, strictly white tie. This is the launch party for a brand new charity.
There was nothing else like it, really, for extravagance and expense spent. I imagine the cost per head was massive.
The guests are A-listers, with a capital A. From the heights of Hollywood to literary royalty. The host for the evening, a former KGB spy turned billionaire, Alexander Lebedev.
The flag of the Soviet Union.
Lebedev had been a lieutenant colonel in the prestigious First Intelligence Directorate of the KGB, stationed in London as a spy for 4 years from 1988.
With KGB activity, there was the long game, the accessing people who one day potentially could be influential. It could be in terms of politics, it could be in terms of business, or indeed a combination.
After the collapse of the Soviet Union, Alexander Lebedev says he resigned from Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service and became a hugely successful businessman, worth, by 2007, an estimated $3.5 billion. This kind of wealth and business success in Putin's Russia is rarely possible without the blessing of the Kremlin. Former British ambassador to Belarus, Nigel Gould Davis, was stationed at the Moscow embassy as the oligarchs rose to prominence and wealth in Russia.
We sort of knew that these figures, just the way Russia worked, meant that they were, if not directly linked to the state, and some of them were, at least it was impossible for them to do without some kind of approval, I would say. These people could not do anything significant without the tacit or explicit approval of the Russian state.
By the mid-2000s, the UK was welcoming Russia's new royalty with open arms. Actors, writers, musicians, and even politicians were happy to attend these parties, despite the fact that their host was a former KGB spy with contacts inside the Kremlin.
Footage from Meet the Banker.
As Gorbachev once said, Alexander Lebedev presented himself, in the West at least, as a moderate critic of Putin and of corruption inside the Russian state.
I hope that Putin would understand that he has a very rare chance of finding a place in history for really reforming and making Russia a European country.
But do you believe
whatever are the problems of Europe,
you
which
keep
are
saying,
temporary.
I hope, and I hope he would do this.
How would I know? How would
do
I know?
Do you have any faith in him as a political leader?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Alexander Lebedev's son, Evgeny, was very westernized, educated here and a British citizen. He was very much part of the London party scene.
When I photographed Evgeny Lebedev at parties, he appeared very stiff, not much expression, hard to read, and a very mysterious character, dominated by his father.
Celebrity photographer Daffith Jones.
Playing the perfect party host offered the Lebedevs access, not just to the celebrity scene, but more importantly, to the political one.
I was shocked how many celebrities and lords and politicians were actually wanting to be next to him, either at the same table or the guest list.
While politicians were happy socializing with a former Russian spy, those charged with protecting our national security were more concerned. Matthew Dunn served as an intelligence officer for Britain's Secret Intelligence Service, MI6.
I would be extremely concerned about government ministers, or just broader terms, politicians, socializing with serving or former Russian intelligence officers.
Christopher Steele is a former head of the Russia desk at MI6.
Could be anything going on at those events. Even people's phone numbers and phone traffic could be potentially intercepted quite easily, actually. If I was going to Russia and holding parties in lavish palaces and inviting, you know, the Minister of Defence to them, I think the Russian security service would have something to say about it.
Despite intelligence agency concerns, the influence the Lebedevs were enjoying in the UK was about to significantly increase.
A sign reads, "Help yourself to your free newspaper."
Former KGB agent Alexander Lebedev is set to take over the London Evening Standard newspaper. He says it's not about making money or interfering with British politics.
Well, some have questioned if a British paper should be owned by a former KGB spy.
January 2009. Prime Minister Gordon Brown's government is being challenged over the sale of the capital's most influential newspaper, the Evening Standard, to Alexander Lebedev.
Under the circumstances, might it not be appropriate to conduct an inquiry into whether or not a former KGB member is a fit and proper person to own that newspaper?
Newspapers are the best investment of all if you want access to political elites, because newspapers still set the political agenda in the United Kingdom. So the Evening Standard was a clever investment to raise profile and gain very senior access.
We've discovered that prior to the sale of the Standard, Britain's security services informed the government of concerns they had about Alexander Lebedev being a former high-ranking officer in the KGB with potential ongoing links to Russian intelligence and the Putin regime.
When I heard that senior Russian intelligence officer had taken over two British newspapers, I was surprised, because the information was given to the British government. This was information they had. I personally was surprised, very surprised, that wasn't acted on.
Wood-panelled corridors.
These security service concerns made their way to the Intelligence and Security Committee in Parliament, which supervises the work of MI5, MI6 and GCHQ. Former committee member Lord Foulkes is speaking about the security concerns raised around Lebedev for the first time.
I think I should be cautious about the detail of what the intelligence services actually gave to the Intelligence and Security Committee. We were certainly not unaware about the concerns that were being expressed about the purchase of newspapers by Lebedev. The purchase of newspapers was of particular concern because of the way in which that can influence public opinion.
The decision to approve the sale rested with the business secretary at the time, Lord Peter Mandelson.
My lords, Mr. Lebedev seems to have been the only option for keeping the paper alive, and I think we would all agree, would we not, that maintaining the London Evening Standard in existence is in the interests of us all, of the public interest and journalism in this country.
Mandelson photographed with Lebedev.
Mandelson was someone who already knew the Lebedevs and would go on to attend a number of their parties. We wrote to Lord Mandelson asking him why he approved the sale despite the security service concerns. His spokesman told us, Lord Mandelson has no recollection of any such advice concerning Mr. Lebedev, and he does not recall any submissions proposing to bar Mr. Lebedev from ownership of the Standard. In 2010, Alexander Lebedev buys the national broadsheet newspaper, The Independent. He hands over full ownership of both papers to his son, Evgeny, who assumes responsibility for all aspects of their day-to-day operations. Lebedev Sr. pledged he would have no editorial influence over the newspapers.
I do not want to interfere. I want facts and arguments to be freed from control.
However, we found a number of examples of Alexander and Evgeny Lebedev writing editorials for the newspapers. In this article, published in the months after Russia's invasion of Crimea, it would seem that Alexander Lebedev is taking a more conciliatory line than most British newspaper editorials concerning Russia's annexation. Here, Evgeny Lebedev is championing Russia's activities against Islamic State in Syria in the Evening Standard.
An article from 2015.
James Kuzik worked for the Independent newspaper in the years after the takeover. Speaking for the first time about his experiences, he says Evgeny Lebedev did get involved editorially on occasions.
There was a story that I took some time to write about a political figure. It was a front page story, and then there was another couple of pages in the inside. I came back in the morning and the story had disappeared off the front page. It was just redesigned. I asked the editor, where is that thing? I mean, we had it. Wasn't it there? We had a call. It's not going to see light of day. He had lists of people that the editors were told not to write anything negative about. And there were people on that list like Tony Blair was somebody you weren't supposed to write about, nothing negative. Peter Mandelson, the same. And I was told that list was anything between 20, 25 people. 20, 25 people had a degree of immunity. That's extraordinary.
I've talked to quite a few people who work for Yevgeny Lebedev or were employed at The Standard and The Independent. And they sort of say various things basically off the record. They won't go on camera and say this. One of them, for example, is that there was a list of people about whom The Independent could not write because they were friends of Yevgeny's. On occasion, Alexander would call up and want a certain story printed.
Luke Harding, author of Invasion.
Alexander Lebedev not only showed an interest in what was written in the newspapers, the ex-KGB spy was also the one bankrolling them, despite having passed full ownership to his son, Evgeny. The financial accounts of the parent company, Lebedev Holdings Limited, show that between 2009 and 2015, Alexander Lebedev and companies in which he had an interest gave loans of at least £150 million to the newspapers.
What emerges from the accounts is that these companies appear to be significantly loss-making over a number of years. There are even notes in the accounts which say, without the ongoing future financial support from Mr. Alexander Lebedev or his companies, the companies might not be able to continue business.
Tom Starks, Organised Crime and Corruption Reporting Project.
The one commodity that newspapers offer, even if they are loss-making, is influence. Alexander Lebedev was propping up the newspapers to the tune of tens of millions of pounds. His son, meanwhile, was cultivating relationships at the heart of government.
What Lebedev was doing in the noughties was buying a profile, buying respectability in the UK, buying the interest of the top elites in the UK. If you are a politician, a young politician, an ambitious politician wanting to make your way, then friends in the media are essential.
One politician who Evgeny Lebedev built a close friendship with was the ambitious new mayor of London, Boris Johnson.
It was actually the Standard, to some large degree, which built Boris Johnson up. I mean, Boris Johnson built himself up first and foremost, but the Standard was a kind of amplifier in chief.
The Standard was one of his doubtiest supporters and had been from early in his career, particularly when he was mayor of London.
Their close friendship shines through in this atmospheric footage highlighting homelessness in London.
And you have photos of them sleeping rough together. Yevgeny, you know, Boris, bedding down in the cold with sleeping bags and woolly hats and so on, sharing a bottle of whiskey. It all seemed very companionable.
I trod in a big puddle over there, so I got slightly wet right foot.
I saved your life.
This friendship cemented two men's rise to power. But it also came to the attention of Britain's intelligence agencies and those of important allies abroad.
Boris, the Lord and the Russian spy. Hashtag C4 dispatches. Footage of armed soldiers and military vehicles.
February 2014. Russian troops launch an illegal invasion of the Crimean Peninsula in Ukraine. It was met with international condemnation. Russian billionaire Alexander Lebedev owned significant assets in Crimea.
Alexander Yevgeny Lebedev.
This triumphant footage highlights Alexander Lebedev's status as a local hero along the Alushta Peninsula, where he owned a bank, a theatre and luxury spa hotels. Despite universal condemnation by world leaders of Russia's invasion, Alexander Lebedev was quickly liaising with those who had led the annexation, at the very heart of Putin's regime.
A large waterfront property.
We've obtained a cache of hacked emails sent by Alexander Lebedev to one of President Putin's close aides, Vladislav Surkov, who engineered the Crimea seizure. They were written within weeks of the invasion. An email dated 11th March 2014 attaches an open letter by Lebedev calling on world powers to come to a peace conference at his Chekhov Theatre in Crimea to negotiate a peace settlement. This contact with one of Putin's closest advisors demonstrates Lebedev's access to the very heart of the Kremlin.
Alexander Lebedev has positioned himself as a liberal-leaning business figure with business interests in the West, not closely aligned with the Kremlin. But there is evidence to suggest that he has remained connected with the Kremlin and with politically connected people in Russia.
At the same time, just days after the Russian annexation, his son Evgeny was explaining Russia's invasion on British television.
Crimea, what people don't realize, has been
for many, many years, many centuries, part of Russia, and only very recently part of Ukraine. So even though I would say that the referendum may have not been held under the right circumstances, I think...
You think it was a genuine vote?
I think the actual outcome of the vote would have been the same.
It appeared that Evgeny Lebedev, the owner of three British newspapers, was justifying Russia's claims over Crimea to a Western audience, while his father corresponded with Putin's inner circle.
Troops on city streets.
Annexation, however, did not prove good for Alexander Lebedev's hotel businesses. Not only did Ukrainians stop holidaying on the peninsula, but Russia's elite weren't exactly flocking in either. We've uncovered another leaked email written by Lebedev in March 2014, this time to one of President Putin's most trusted advisors, Chief of Staff Sergei Ivanov.
At that time, in the mid-2010s, Sergei Ivanov can be considered one of the key political figures in Putin's regime as chief of staff in his presidential administration. One of the things that he flags is that he has been a significant investor in the tourism sector in Crimea. And he essentially makes a proposal to Ivanov. He suggests organizing big bulk holidays for state employees, for employees of government ministries, including the Ministry of Defense and the Ministry of Internal Affairs, state-owned banks, and so on. On top of that, he's proposing discounted tickets on the Russian state airline, Aeroflot, in which he is a shareholder.
This leaked letter once again highlights Alexander Lebedev's close contacts with the Putin regime.
A photo of Lebedev with Putin and others.
There's another curious line in his letter. Alexander Lebedev says, at the present time, I am not the owner of the hotel complexes. So who does own them then? We have information suggesting it was his son, Evgeny, who became the ultimate beneficial owner of the businesses, before ownership reverted back to his father in 2016. Yet whether Evgeny Lebedev, as a British citizen, was consequently in technical breach of EU sanctions and UK law, was never investigated. We wrote to Evgeny Lebedev asking him about his ownership of the Crimean hotels. He told us, he was given property in Crimea in 2012 because his father was facing a politically motivated prison sentence. But neither he nor any company under his custodianship breached sanctions.
A news broadcast featuring footage of a police operation and a suspect behind bars.
It really is like the Cold War. Police in full chemical suits on the streets of Salisbury and a Russian double agent who worked for MI6 feared poisoned and critically ill.
March 2018. Russia launches a chemical attack on UK soil, poisoning a former double agent and his daughter, and killing a British woman in Salisbury. The following month, Boris Johnson, then Foreign Secretary, flies to Brussels to attend a NATO summit, which agrees it's highly likely that Russia was behind the deadly nerve agent attack. Hours later, he flew to Umbria to attend a party hosted by Evgeny and Alexander Lebedev at one of their two luxurious villas, Palazzo Terranova.
I mean, these parties seem to have been pretty decadent. That's a polite way of putting it. I mean, lots of alcohol, of course. Evgeny there with his pet wolfhounds, one of whom was called Boris, after Yeltsin, after Johnson, we're not quite sure. Immaculate catering, you know, wonderful sort of chefs and so on.
Boris Johnson has been a frequent visitor, coming to social gatherings on at least half a dozen occasions, dating back to 2012, and his time as Mayor of London.
A gloomy basement.
Unbeknown to Johnson, Italy's Secret Intelligence Service had been monitoring the Lebedevs' two Umbrian villas for several years, suspecting they were being used for espionage purposes. We've been given a copy of a leaked document written by Italy's Foreign Intelligence Agency to the then Prime Minister, Giuseppe Conte. It's part of a wider security service investigation, and were shown to members of the Italian Parliament's Intelligence Oversight Committee in 2021. MP Lia Quattropelle, the Vice President of the Italian Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee, is familiar with the contents of the document.
Clearly from the report, it stands out that the properties were part and tool of a network of relationship. They were part and tool of a strategy of influence. And so it was noticed who was there, how many times people went there, and so on.
The document states that Lebedev enjoys the favor and friendship of Vladimir Putin, and that he continued to attend annual KGB meetings in the Kremlin long after he left the service. Indeed, it questions whether Lebedev ever genuinely severed ties with Russian intelligence, stating his resignation from the KGB is considered by many to be unclear.
In Italy, when we say KGB, we intend the entire Russian security and spy agencies, all of them. The conclusion of the report is that it cannot be ruled out that he still works for KGB or he still is involved in KGB activities. The report says that it cannot be excluded that Lebedev today, up to date, enjoys the favor of Vladimir Putin. You should really be careful on what kind of relationship you keep with such a person.
Yet just weeks after Russia's deadly attack in Salisbury, Boris Johnson visited the Lebedevs in Umbria.
Footage from Instagram.
His visits to these properties concerned Italian intelligence, who are still monitoring the activities and lavish parties held at the Lebedev villas in April 2018 as part of a wider security service investigation.
Our secret services had to keep an eye on an important European politician coming there and to understand whether there were reasons of concern.
We have a confirmation from three different sources from Italian intelligence that Boris Johnson was monitored by our intelligence when he was in Italy in April 2018. What we know from our investigation and from our sources is that Boris Johnson arrived in Umbria without people from his security.
As one of the highest ranking officials in the British government, it is customary for police officers to accompany a foreign secretary on all overseas trips. Johnson did not have any security with him and told MPs his trip was in line with established security protocols.
In my understanding, Boris Johnson went straight from the NATO summit without his official tail.
As an intelligence professional, I'm flabbergasted that a serving government minister would even consider spending a weekend in Italy in the castle that was owned by a former KGB officer who'd worked against the UK.
I have to remember the politicians that they're not trained to handle these situations. Ergo, they are immediately putting themselves into extremely vulnerable situations. To go in from a position of naivety or being blasé about the whole thing, then you're laying yourself wide open for being blackmailed in some guise.
Why do you need to go to a party in the villa of a Russian citizen, which is not entirely clear whether it still works for Russian secret services or not? And you are not a normal politician. You are the foreign minister of an important NATO country. Really, you can have fun in many other ways.
Lia Quattropelle, MP. Then footage of Boris Johnson giving evidence.
Summoned to give evidence to Parliament last year about the nature of his 2018 trip to the Lebedev Villa, Boris Johnson stated that, as far as I'm aware, no government business was discussed.
The villa perched on a wooded hillside, then author Luke Harding.
There's an allegation that's done the rounds that what was planned for that weekend was that Johnson would speak to his Russian counterpart, the Russian foreign minister Sergei Lavrov, and they would have a discussion. The idea was this would be an off-the-books conversation.
We don't know whether this alleged phone call ever took place. Boris Johnson travelled to Umbria without any officials who could have subsequently shed light on the events of that night. In his evidence to Parliament, Johnson claimed officials were aware in advance that I was attending the social event. However, Foreign Office officials have told us they knew nothing about Boris Johnson's trip to Umbria.
I did not know in April 2018 that Boris Johnson intended to go to Italy to see the Lebedevs immediately after a NATO summit. No. He did not tell me at the time. I was surprised when I found out later, because this is a striking contact, an unusual contact.
You don't lose your bodyguards for no reason. These things are important and significant, and they have to actually be bottomed out by the powers that be in this country, because we just don't know what happened at that event.
We asked Boris Johnson for a response to our allegations. He told us he did not travel to Italy without Foreign Office knowledge. He also said that no conversation was held with Sergei Lavrov. Lord Lebedev told us any suggestion he was or would be party to allowing any form of espionage, whether connected to Russia or anyone else, would be false. This allegation bears the hallmarks of anti-Russian racist harassment. Boris Johnson's loyalty to the Lebedevs was soon to result in a political and national security crisis at the very heart of government.
This is the first case where we've seen a significant national security concern in the appointment of a Member of Parliament.
Hashtag C4 Dispatches. Boris Johnson in Downing Street.
Within weeks of first entering Downing Street, Prime Minister Boris Johnson alerted his officials of his intention to nominate his long-standing friend, Evgeny Lebedev, for a peerage to honour his work in the media industry.
The only explanation seemed to be that Mr. Lebedev's newspaper was close and supportive of Mr. Johnson, which does not seem to me a very solid reason to become a member of our legislature.
Inside Downing Street, alarm bells were ringing. Evgeny Lebedev's nomination presented a rare national security concern for the British honour system.
An ornate archway.
All nominations for peerages go through a vetting process run by the House of Lords Appointments Commission, or HOLAC. Lord Clark was a member of HOLAC at the time they vetted Evgeny Lebedev's nomination. He's speaking for the first time.
The idea is to have a body which looks at every aspect of security and suitability. One of the most important sources for information is from the security services, and that helps us make our judgment on an individual.
Britain's security services red-flagged Evgeny Lebedev's nomination on the grounds of national security.
Once he's appointed to the House of Lords, he may well be sitting in committees discussing matters of the security of the state. So we can't afford to make mistakes at that stage.
Lord David Clark, former committee member.
Following the Intelligence Services report, the House of Lords Appointments Commission wrote to Boris Johnson outlining the security concerns. The letter, which we've seen and has never been published, was written on the 23rd of July 2020 by the chair of HOLAC, directly to the then Prime Minister. In the letter, the Commission notes that the security services have highlighted significant potential risks in respect of the nominee's familial links and the potential vulnerability of any information obtained by the nominee from his association with UK officials or government. We would assume that any such vulnerability would similarly apply to material relating to the operation of the House of Lords.
This is the first case where we've seen a significant national security concern in the appointment of a Member of Parliament, certainly the House of Lords.
They would have registered concern that the son of Alexander Lebedev, being the House of Lords, you know, whatever you think of the House of Lords, it may not have power, but it does have influence. You could still got that access to, you know, one of the highest echelons of power.
The security services specified in their report that they did not consider Evgeny Lebedev himself to be a national security threat. But they did raise the possibility of his father's ongoing relationship with the Kremlin.
The system is designed to ensure that the government of the day cannot ignore intelligence and cannot abuse their position vis-a-vis national security.
Sources inside Downing Street have told us Boris Johnson was furious when Holak requested Evgeny's nomination be withdrawn because of security service concerns, claiming this was Russophobic bias. In a controversial break with precedent, he announced he would proceed with Lebedev's proposed peerage regardless.
I know of no other example where the Prime Minister has overruled intelligence advice on the grounds of national security.
I would think it is probably unheard of in modern times.
Boris Johnson's determination to make Mr. Lebedev appear in the face of all commentary at the time and since seems to me very important. Boris Johnson was determined that Mr. Lebedev should be Lord Lebedev.
Lord Simon MacDonald.
So unprecedented was Boris Johnson's decision to override the advice of the House of Lords Appointments Commission that government officials felt obliged to step in. Sources have told us two officers from the intelligence services were invited into Downing Street to brief the Prime Minister in person about their security concerns. However, we're told Boris Johnson argued that, as there was no evidence linking Evgeny Lebedev himself to the Putin regime or Russian intelligence, the peerage could go ahead.
The intelligence agencies have a specific task to fulfill. They look after the security of our country. It is highly unusual for their advice to be set aside.
He tried to overrule, and did overrule, his security advisers and the House of Lords Appointment Commission. The whole point of the House of Lords Appointments Commission was actually to try and give the civil population a real say in the safety, their safety, of their country.
In a final twist to this extraordinary story, sources have told us for the first time that government officials made one last attempt to block Evgeny Lebedev's peerage, and it was a highly unusual move. The officials contacted Buckingham Palace to ask whether Her Majesty the Queen could intervene and block the peerage, something the monarch is constitutionally entitled to do. The palace is understood to have refused, fearing this irregular request would drag the Queen into controversial political matters.
I've never heard of officials seeking a meeting to discuss these issues. So we've got to remember, these people, they are aware of things which you and I aren't aware of, and therefore they have knowledge. And they were really concerned about this. They thought it was a major, major mistake.
A bird's eye view of Buckingham Palace and the surrounding parkland. Then footage of Evgeny Lebedev in red robes taking his place in the House of Lords.
I, Evgeny Lord Lebedev, do solemnly, sincerely, and truly declare and affirm that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, her heirs and successors according to law.
December 2020. Evgeny Lebedev is formally inaugurated into the House of Lords.
Know ye, Baron Lebedev, of Hampton in our London borough of Richmond-upon-Thames and of Siberia in the Russian Federation.
It makes a mockery of the House of Lords. It makes a mockery of our whole parliamentary structure.
Every other Prime Minister, by and large, followed the conventions. Boris Johnson was quite determined that he was going to get his own way, and that threatened the whole notion of conventions which make British government work. And it was a real threat. He disregarded the Constitution, and that is a very dangerous position.
Boris Johnson told us he remains fully supportive of Lord Lebedev's appointment, and the normal process was followed. He denies overruling HOLAC or ignoring security advice. Lord Lebedev told us he is familiar with the security advice and understands no such attempt was made by the security services to persuade the PM to withdraw the nomination. The war in Ukraine was about to focus international attention on the elites and close associates around Vladimir Putin as never before.
My concern would be based on Alexander's history in the UK, especially his connections to certain politicians. The threat is he could end political careers.
Boris, the Lord and the Russian spy. Hashtag C4 Dispatches. Shaky footage of people crossing a road under fire.
January 2022. Russia invades Ukraine to worldwide condemnation. NATO countries unite behind Ukrainian President Zelensky and impose tough sanctions targeting the network of oligarchs supporting Putin.
Those oligarchs who have connections with the Putin regime and who are benefiting from their association with the Russian state, we are going to expose and distrain their assets.
Canada, home to the largest Ukrainian population outside of Russia and Ukraine, leads the international response, but goes further with its sanctions than Britain.
We have a good understanding about who it is that is supporting Russia. We have a good understanding about who might be the key players around Putin. Our political decision is based on evidence. Our political decision is based on very good intelligence.
Intelligence gathered by Canada and presented to the government leads them to sanction Alexander Lebedev.
From Lebedev shaking Putin's hand to the Canadian Parliament.
The man who purchased three British newspapers and whose son sits in the House of Lords was identified by the Canadian government as someone who enabled Vladimir Putin's senseless war in Ukraine and bears responsibility for the pain and suffering of the people of Ukraine.
Alexander has some type of connection to the Kremlin and to Putin and is worthy of being sanctioned in Canada.
Denis Molinaro worked as an analyst at Canada's Secret Intelligence Service, gathering intelligence for the government. Like his British counterparts, he is restricted in what he can say by Canada's Official Secrets Act.
I don't see there's any way that someone like Alexander, who was formerly so ingrained in the KGB, could walk away from that. Especially if the Russian government could see Alexander's connections outside of the KGB as being potentially valuable. I would absolutely be thinking that those connections to intelligence services in the Russian state would still be active.
So why has the former KGB spy and billionaire British newspaper investor not been sanctioned in the UK?
It's unclear why, at the political level, you know, nothing's been done in terms of sanctioning him. My concern would be based on Alexander's history in the UK that he has been engaged in the level of influence operations in the UK. I see that as concerning, especially his connections to certain politicians. The threat is he could end political careers.
We asked Alexander Lebedev to respond, but did not receive a reply. Regarding allegations of editorial influence, Lord Lebedev told us he has never exercised any more influence over his newspapers than any other proprietor and has not controlled The Independent for some years. And it has a legally binding governing document, which guarantees editorial independence. Last year, he wrote in The Independent, condemning the war in Ukraine.
Evgeny Lebedev and the red leather benches of the House of Lords.
Evgeny Lebedev today sits in the upper chamber of the British Parliament as a lawmaker.
You should think very carefully before allowing somebody of that background and profile to have this kind of influence in our public life.
Boris Johnson resigned as an MP, having been accused of misleading Parliament. But he remains a powerful figure in British politics.
Boris Johnson put himself in the direct line of being able to be influenced and compromised.
The fact that Boris Johnson ignored advice from MI6 and his officials shows how close his relationship was or is to Evgeny Lebedev. And I think it shows how successful and effective the Lebedev influence operation in London and the UK has been.
Despite the international sanctions imposed on Alexander Lebedev and other oligarchs close to the Kremlin, the threat Vladimir Putin and his regime pose to the UK remains real.
Russia has clearly played a long game, has clearly tried to buy influence in the United Kingdom, has clearly established contact through very senior Russians close to Putin with very senior Brits.
If you have a prime minister who is determined to get his own way, at whatever the cost is going to be, there's very little that Parliament can do about it.
If you have politicians that can be compromised by foreign states, it could lead to sharing of secrets, it could lead to steering of policy in their interests, it could lead to a fracturing of an alliance that the West has depended on to maintain the current international order and system.
A city by night.
And if that goes, we don't have much left.
Dennis Molinaro, Professor of Legal Studies, Ontario Tech University.